his presence. Spend a moment in the presence of the Spirit of the living God. And let him speak to you things that only he can do. You know, on this Father's Day, it reminds me of a conversation King David had with his boy, Solomon. Now, Solomon wasn't a boy anymore. 1 Kings chapter 2, they had a man-to-man talk. Now, King David is winding down his life. Now, everybody had seen over the many years that he lived that he did some great and mighty things. They also saw some great and mighty sins. And they also saw the repercussions of those sins. So King David grabs his kid, as many fathers do, and they're going to have a heart-to-heart conversation. He tells him, be strong. Well, that's a good thing to say to your kid, right? Be strong. But he says this. He says, and act like a man. What? It's in the scripture? Yeah, it's there. You can go look it up. He says, son, act like a man. He's not talking about identity or gender. He's saying, act like a man, because real men fear God. Real men are courageous. Real men honor the things of heaven. That's what a man does. A man leads his family. He's saying, you're going to experience some things in your life, and I'm not going to be here to guide you. Have some conviction in your life and act like a man. Because when the pressure comes, that's the only thing you're going to have to rely on is heaven. Now, there's a guy that kind of knew that, right? Highs in his life and lows in his life, King David kind of had some life experience to pass on. And then when you go into that scripture, he talks about, and then your descendants and so forth. Why? Because a dad matters. And a godly father matters even more. So he tells him, son, act like a man. Crosspoint Church, dads and men, let's just act like men. And men means let's be strong and courageous in our faith. Let's fear heaven. And let's continue to do the right things. It doesn't mean we won't do some wrong things, because the Lord knows we do. But the real man will recognize that, pick themselves up, and move forward and do the right things like King David did. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray right now. Lord, I pray for every man in this room, every man watching online, Lord God, and we thank you for the women that are alongside of us. Lord God, I pray right now, as you pour out that spirit that we just sang about, Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name, we act like men today. And then we act like men tomorrow and the days to follow, Lord. No matter what happened in the past, Lord God, I pray that that conviction that comes upon us today, that spirit that's moving in the room and moving online as people have joined us, Lord God, I pray that that conviction just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. That when the devil comes along that tries to steal it from us, Lord God, that we rise up and we act like men, strong and courageous, fearing heaven, doing what heaven wants us to do on planet Earth. So we hear those words, welcome thy good and faithful servant. Lord God, I pray that today is the day that we are convicted of things that we shouldn't be doing and catapulted forward into things we should. Lord, bless the men in this service and online. Bless the women that have joined. Lord, bless Crosspoint Church. In Jesus' name, I pray. Church, give heaven some praise today. Hallelujah. All right, now, ladies, look at your guys and say, act like a man, right?
Well, happy Father's Day again, and a special happy Father's Day to my dad, who's back there, and my pops-in-law, who's down here in the front row with his son. So it's so great to, this is scary, my iPad just went out. Oh, please, Lord, not on a day where I haven't done announcements in a while. Give me a second. There we go. So good morning again. You probably realize I am not Pastor Mike. And I would ask that you lift up Mike and his dad, Neil and Nell, in your prayers. Neil had surgery a couple weeks ago and has had some complications. So they had a very long night. I think they just got him back up to UH, but Neil could really, really use your prayers and strength for the entire family. Just God's health and wholeness as we have been speaking over this church. So please keep Neil in your prayers. I want to welcome our first-time guests. It is great to have you, and if this is your very first Sunday, welcome. We are so blessed that you chose to join us. There are several ways you connect with us, either in the building or those of you watching online, and you can do that through either the QR code that's on your seat back, the QR code on your bulletin, or again, if you're watching online, you can just click on that. It'll help you connect with us and exchange some information. But if you are a first-time guest or visitor in the building today, we have a very special treat for you. We have a gift box that you can get out at the visitor center, the VIP center, when you leave. There's some goodies in there. I think some chocolate, which if you know me, that's my favorite thing. Some information about the church and also a Chick-fil-A gift card. So we just want to welcome you again. Charles says, yeah, we love our food here. You can't go today, but any other day of the week, you can have a free meal at Chick-fil-A on us. And if you are a visitor, we have been challenging our visitors to do something. We have been challenging you to a 3-week challenge. We want you to come 3 weeks in a row, 3 consecutive Sundays, and see what the Lord does in your life. We believe here at Crosspoint that God gives us a better way, a better life, a better story. So I want to encourage you, if this is your first time, to take us up on our challenge for 3 weeks and see what the Lord does in your life. And share those stories with us, your testimony. So I want to ask any of you that participated in any way, shape, or form, either here those 3 days, helping to decorate before, for Galaxy VBS, and let me say, I had to travel for work. I missed the whole thing, and I was so bummed. But if you participated, helped in any way, I want you to stand, because we want to recognize you. Anybody at all? And our biggest helpers and preparers are not even here today, but Pastor Christine, Pastor Mike, and Ashley Gray, and Justin, who Ashley and Justin are in with our kiddos, why Pastor Amber's on her sabbatical, but they did a ton of prep work for that. So thank you all of you, though, that volunteered and helped. I think our kids were blessed. I pray their parents were blessed, and I'm anxious to see the pictures, because like I said, I had to miss it all. So my last announcement, summer life groups have kicked off. It is not too late. They are not in a series right now that if you missed the previous week, you would be lost if you jump in. So hopefully that slide is on the screen. It is. We still have quite a few available spots, if you will, at Alan Sharon Peterson's and Andrea Peterson's group. So I believe both of those meet on Sunday evenings. You can go out to the VIP Center to get more info, or you can click on that little QR code. But those who have been attending so far, I know, are saying it's been awesome. Awesome just to continue with that connection. Awesome to learn more about the message from that Sunday and study God's Word together. And awesome to fellowship. So it is not too late, and I would encourage you to jump in a group. All right, I hope I have not missed anything. I'm a little out of practice, but if I did, please check your bulletin, check Facebook or the Church Center app, and have a blessed rest of your Father's Day. Love you all.
Amen. Thank you, dear. Is it just me, or is that the prettiest announcer I have ever seen, ever?
Just saying. It's just you.
You know, I was looking at some things online, and I came across, I was looking at some new shirts, and I found this shirt. I'm thinking I'm going to get it for my wife. Hold your ears. It just says right in the front, I got the dibs on the pastor. Right? Yeah, right now.
I would wear that.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads in the house and online. What a great day. Now, I come into the worship center and I look at the beautiful backdrop that we have for dads today, and our facilities manager extraordinaire, John Dorm, set that up for us. And then I see all these, yes, give them a, tell them how much you appreciate them, yeah. And I see all these like little icons here, right? You see those, right? On this side, it's got a couple tools, and on that side, it's got some tools. I just got myself a brand new set of tools after forever. My wife upped my allowance, and I bought a bunch of tools, right? Isn't that true? And I look over here, and there's a gaming system. Right? You see? Can you see that? There's a little controller. I don't know how he did that, but there's this little controller. And there's this really cool gaming system in my basement from 3 years ago, 2 years ago, that I tested for our youth here. And I loved it. Like, it's the Nintendo Switch, right? I have no idea what that means, but I got one. And I tested it, and I said, boy, I was testing it for our youth group, and I loved it so much, I bought one for me. And I still haven't touched it. But I see it up there, so I said, okay, that's good. You know, then I see the little stuff for grilling, right? There's grilling on that side, grilling on this side, and that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to grill, right? Dads, right? I kind of like to grill on Father's Day, right? So thank you, John, for putting up there. But then I see on this side a baseball mitt, right? A baseball mitt. For the pastor who's been playing baseball for many, many years and getting hurt throughout all those years, getting hurt, right? And I see him, and I know it's mine. John, thank you. It's mine because you think that's a baseball in the middle of it, but no, it's a hole. So I know it's mine, right? The ball goes right through the mitt, right? Hey, listen, dads, I got a surprise for you when you're leaving the service today. You know, now my wife on Mother's Day gave away coffee cards so everybody could get a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, right? Well, your pastor is addicted to blizzards from Dairy Queen. So my lovely wife says, well, why don't you give every dad, every guy that's 18 years old and older a card to get a blizzard? So guys, when you're leaving, you're going to have a blizzard on me. So just grab your card when you're, I'll probably see you there, right? Dads, all the guys, not just dads, but all the guys, we honor all the men in the house today. Now, if you're watching online and you're not going to get a blizzard card, you got to show up in the house, right? Got to show up in the house, but we thank you for joining us. Anyways, you can follow the message today online at seapoint.church. You can follow the podcast that the church puts out every single week. We put out a podcast of the message and the worship. You can hear that on any podcast app that you listen to. You can follow along today, folks, in the message on the sermon notes. You scan the QR code on the screen in front of you, and you can just take a look at the sermon notes and follow along. Now, as you know, I don't always follow notes, but they're always there for you to go back to and do some study. Now, I know many of you study for probably 10, 20 hours a week on my messages. So the notes are there. Somebody just laughed. So, and also the Church Center app, you can see the daily devotional. And we do that as well on each Sunday message. We do a devotion for Monday through Friday, and you can go back and look at that every morning. You can do a devotion on the message from Sunday morning. Now, if you're in a life group, you're going to be studying and reviewing the message from each Sunday morning. And all the life groups will be doing that throughout the summer using a study guide that the church puts out, and they will just go over and kind of deep dive the message. Now, you know, we can't deep dive too much on a Sunday morning. We don't have the time. So you get a little extra study on the Sunday morning message. Now, I do have an announcement this morning that's really important. And thank you, dear, for doing announcements today. I do have an announcement, folks. Now, coming up is July 4th, right? That is the birthday of our great nation. Yep. 250 years our great nation has been around. You can give praise, yep. And so we've been asked by the Assemblies of God here in the great state of Ohio if we would be willing to host a one-hour prayer meeting as part of the America Praise 250 initiative by the Assemblies of God World Prayer Center in Springfield, Missouri, if we would host this. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that for 1 hour on July 4th, Saturday, July 4th, this church will be the host site for all of Canton. And I'm just going to ask that my church shows up. I'm going to ask that you come in for 1 hour. And we're going to pray with over 1,000 other churches throughout the United States. We're going to pray the same things all the other churches are praying, and we're going to pray them at the same time. So every time zone will start praying the same things at the same time. Why? Because we are going to storm heaven with the same thing at the same time with people throughout the nation. That's what we're going to do. Now, when this started a while back, there's the churches started to grow. It's up to now almost 1,100 churches that will be participating. Now, as of this morning, it could be higher. But now we're looking at somewhere between 300,000 to 400,000 people that will be praying the exact same thing at the exact same time, storming heaven. We're looking to boldly go in to the throne and really get God's attention. And I'm going to ask that you show up for that. We have asked a number of you to be prayer intercessors on that day, and it will start at 9, and folks, it's going to end at 10. Don't come late. It's a very structured prayer time that we will have a hard stop. Now, unless God does something special, we'll have a hard stop at 10 o'clock, and you'll go and do what you want to do for the rest of the holiday weekend, but maybe, just maybe, you want to start your holiday in prayer, praying for the nation, praying for a number of things that we really need to pray about. It's going to be great. We're going to have quite a few people praying with us. So I would invite you, with the pastoral staff and the leadership here at Cross Point Church, to come in for 1 hour on July 4th. Can you do that for me? I pray you do that. You're going to hear a lot about that. Why are we going to pray for such a time as this? For such a time as this. We are in a series called For Such a Time as This. The time you're in, you're no accident, church. You're no accident. God placed you here for such a time as this. You are not an accident today. You may feel like it sometimes, but you're not. The Bible is very clear. Before you were formed in the womb of your mother, I knew you. Scripture says, I knew you. You are no accident. We are going through a series called For Such a Time as This, How Ordinary People Live in Extraordinary Times. Do you think we're living in extraordinary times? We are living in extraordinary times. Now, last week, we launched a series, When the World Shakes, Your World Shakes. You've got to live with confidence in God. The word last week was confidence. We have to live with confidence in God. We talked about a couple examples. Esther, remember Esther? Mordecai was telling her, go in and petition the king. She's now queen. Go in and petition the king, even though you're not invited. And the rule was you had to be invited, remember? Have some confidence. Go in and petition the king to save us, because they want to wipe us out, the Jewish, right? They want to wipe us out. Go save us. And she says, no, I can't go in. I'm not invited. Have some confidence. So she does. She builds up confidence to go in. And she makes this declaration of confidence. I'll go in and I'll do it. And if I perish, I perish. But you got to have confidence to do it, right? You got to have confidence to do it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told to bow down to the golden idol, right? And they refused. The ones that were going into the fiery furnace, remember the story, right? They refused to do it. Our God will protect us. And they make the declaration, but even if he doesn't, they're not changing their mind. They had confidence in heaven. Why? Because confidence believes God is present to help us in our times of trouble if we have confidence. If you have confidence. Today, how do ordinary people live in extraordinary times? On Father's Day, we live, dads, with conviction. We live with conviction. And hold on, you're going to hear that word a lot this morning. We live with conviction. What does that mean? It means I trust God. I trust God to place something inside of me that I couldn't place in myself, right? It means I stand firm in what I believe. I stand firm in what I believe. You know, today, folks, the state of affairs of our nation is kind of messed up. Can I say it like that? That's why we're coming to pray on July 4th. The state of affairs in our nation is messed up. We are questioning everything. But there's two things we question. You'll hear a lot today. We question authority and we question trust. Who do we obey and who do we trust? And those things are challenged every day, right? Reality is debated. We have information overload that creates a tremendous amount of confusion. Conviction settles the question of truth and authority before culture demands an answer. And I want to start this today by talking about two words, culture and society. Now, we use those words interchangeably all the time, but they're not necessarily interchangeable. Culture is talking about norms, beliefs, convictions. Society talks about the structure, like governments and schools and, you know, those types of things. That's the society you live in. But the culture, the norms, the beliefs, the behaviors affect society. It's the core of what props us up is the culture. Society, people, institutions, schools, and what have you. Social structures, that type of thing. But then there's values and beliefs, who we are as people and what we believe, what moves us and motivates us. Culture is what shapes our thinking in society. So that's why it's constantly getting filtered. Culture gets filtered. Your beliefs, your behaviors, your norms is constantly under attack to be filtered. How? Social media algorithms today, right? News outlets. You know, when I was growing up, Walter Cronkite just gave me the news, I felt like. Right? That's what I felt like. Today, I get opinion on the news. It doesn't matter where I turn, I get all these opinions. And then there's people that brand themselves as experts, even though they may not be an expert in the sense of the word. But they say they are, so I guess they are. And some of those are called influencers online. But everything now is getting blurred by this new word, artificial intelligence, AI. So now AI shows up to blur it all. Why? Because the attack is being ramped up on what you believe, your norms, your behaviors. Why? So your society that you live in can be affected. Your institutions, the people, your churches, your schools. So if we change the culture and we muddy it up, then the society that we live in gets all confused. Right? The greatest crisis, church, in our culture today is not political, it's not economic or social. It is the crisis of truth and authority. There is where the problem lies. Now, people are asking questions like this. Who defines truth and authority? Who gets to say that? Who defines my reality or your reality? Who defines right and wrong? And who defines how we should live? What's conviction then? Here's conviction. Conviction is deciding beforehand what is true and who you will obey before the culture pressures you to compromise or change your mind. It's what is ingrained inside of us as people. And now you're starting to think a little bit this morning on Father's Day. Culture is changing. So let's jump into the story of Daniel, which we've been talking about. And let me take you to the time where Jerusalem is falling, the temple's been desecrated, the Babylonian Empire is coming in and raiding everything. We've used Daniel a few times, but there's a specific thing about Daniel I want to talk about today. So they're coming in and they're taking everybody captive, right? And destroying everything. Stealing what's valuable. Desecrating a temple. You know, Daniel could say God has lost society. Daniel could have said the culture has been decimated. Where's God? But he started to realize a strategy that Babylon has. And the strategy was not only to, with force, capture them and overtake them, but they started this thing to reshape what they believe. They're going to reshape how they think, how they behave, the Israelites. The Babylonian Empire is going to overtake them, but change them as a result. Not just where they live, but how they think, how they behave, the culture inside of the people. Why? Because if you could change the culture, you could change society. Let's watch. Daniel 1, verses 3 through 7. Then the king ordered Ahazaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service, some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. They're going to go grab some good of the higher-end people, the ones that they think are higher-end after the conquest took place. What can we do with these people? How do we use them into our kingdom? They were doing two things here, folks. They were going to make the Israelites obedient, but they were also going to assimilate them into their culture. So they didn't want just pure obedience. They wanted to reshape how they thought. And so they started at the top, and they brought them in, young men without any physical defects, kind of like me, handsome, well, I know now, right, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, I'm thrown out, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them, the chief of the court officials. He was to teach the Israelites the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine, drink, from the king's table, supposed to be the best. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then after that, they were to enter the king's service. What? You're going to be obedient, and then we're going to assimilate you, change your culture, and then you could come work for us. Why? You will now be like us. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, the tribe, Daniel, there he is, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Man, where do those friends come from? The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, Belteshazzar. What a good Babylonian name, right? To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. They are now changing their names from Hebrew names to Babylonian names. It's a change of culture. Daniel 1:8, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. I'm not going to do it. So he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Daniel had a conviction. I can't defile myself with the culture and take the king's best food and wine, drink. I can't defile myself. I can't do that. I have a conviction. I can't do it. But look what it says when he says he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. That doesn't sound like a conviction, does it? It doesn't sound like a conviction if you go and have to ask to do it. Can't be much of a conviction. Can I not defile myself this way? Right? But notice the order, folks. Daniel resolved not to defile himself was first. Conviction came first. His request not to defile himself came second. Why is that? It's not weakness, it's all wisdom. And I'm going to show you why. It's all wisdom and not weakness. And then as we go through this morning's message, the dads and the moms, you're starting to see what's going on in our culture and our societies today. Right? Daniel is going to throw in some serious wisdom. He's really asking, is there a peaceful way to honor my conviction? Is there a peaceful way that we can do this? I'm not going to defile myself. He's coming to the chief guy and says, I got this conviction, but I don't want to cause a big issue about it. But I'm not going to change it. Conviction determines what you will do, but wisdom determines how you're going to do it. Many have convictions. Many don't have wisdom. Many say, I'll stand on the principle, but many don't realize how to do it. And a lot of times, we end up doing it wrong because we don't know how to do it. Now, the principle, the conviction might be really strong in your life, and you're going to stand on that. But how you do it determines what people think of it. That's what he's teaching us here. Daniel, centuries, thousands of years ago, is teaching us what to do. Why does that matter today? Because many Christians have convictions, but many Christians start an argument. And Daniel is teaching us here that you don't need to start an argument. The wisdom here is to be gracious, respectful, cooperative, and honorable. See, we don't have to have such conviction because the conviction loses its value if there's a fight. That's what Daniel's teaching. And he not only knows that, but he's going to teach this chief official that. They would think that Daniel would be kicking and screaming to be assimilating into their culture. He says, well, I got this conviction. I'm not going to take your food and your wine. However, I don't want to dishonor you. See, Daniel understood that God placed him there. So if he was dishonoring where he was dishonoring heaven. God had him on a plan. And he wasn't about to ruin it because he wanted to argue about a conviction. So he had to figure out a plan how to get around that and still honor the authority that he's sitting under now, whether he wanted to be there or not, because he didn't, but he's going to honor the authority, but make sure the authority understood, I've got a conviction here and I'm not going to defile that conviction. So he makes a deal with him. He says, listen, I'm not gonna eat this food and defile myself, but I'll make you a deal. You let me eat some veggies and water, the story goes. And let's see if I don't do better on veggies and water, me and my friends, than I do on the royal food. And if you know the story, 10 days later, he was a lot healthier than everybody else. You think he got so much healthier in 10 days? No. No. He didn't. But Daniel 1:9 tells what happens. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. And said, okay, I'll take you up on your offer. I'll give you 10 days. God showed up because Daniel took a stand and was honoring the authority. He had wisdom to figure out another plan, and God honored it. Daniel had the courage to stand firm, but he also had the wisdom to stand graciously. See, we can have these strong convictions, church, for such a time as this, but ruin them by not having the wisdom of how to move through it and get it done. Isn't that true of, like, when we argue with somebody? Your position gets weaker and weaker the more we argue. Daniel is teaching us something here. Daniel asked for permission when his conviction was already settled, but his method was still being worked out. He's still trying to work out the method. See, we need to establish the conviction before somebody in society or in our culture tests us on it. You've got to be ready for when the test shows up. Daniel was ready. Remember the story of Joshua? Joshua takes over after Moses passes on, goes into the promised land, takes the Israelites to conquer the new territory, and then for years leads them into many battles, many challenges, many difficult times, and many successes and victories. Right? That's what happens. He's nearing death. He dies at 110 years old, and he's getting really close. So he wants to pass on his convictions to the next generation. And it's a scripture that we use and talk about all the time, but I'm not sure we understood the background of it. In Joshua 24:15, he says to all his descendants and all the people, he knows he's going to be gone here shortly. He says, choose for yourself whom you're going to serve. You got to make a choice. And then he lays on this conviction. Joshua 24:15, but for me and my household, you got it on your door at home. It's on your fridge. But the story behind it is he's challenging the people to stand up and hold a conviction. He says, this is me. For me and my household, we're serving heaven. What are you going to do? That's my conviction, he says. He's saying, who is the authority in your life? See, you don't develop conviction in a crisis. That's when they're revealed. So you've got to figure it out early. So when the test comes, you're ready. And that's why many Christians struggle today, because they're not ready. We're not ready to do what, Pastor? To defend our convictions. Right? See, that conviction's rooted in truth, not our preferences. It's rooted in truth, not what we feel it should be, not my preference or your preference. In Daniel's case, the issue was not food. The issue was authority and who defines truth. It's the same today, folks. Whose authority defines your truth? Whose authority defines right and wrong? Whose authority defines how we live or should live? You know, identity is all the rage today. Is it not? Identity is just all the rage. Who am I? What am I here for? Can I define myself? Doesn't my identity come from me? These are the questions that we're asking, right? Does identity come from some creator? Is there really somebody out there that creates my identity, right? And then you hear this one that we hear all the time, I identify as. And when you say I identify as, you are saying you are in charge of the authority and trust in your life. I this, I'm that, right? But the underlying question, church, is not that. It's really who defines my reality for such a time as this? Who defines my reality? Daniel's name means God is my judge. But Belteshazzar is a Babylonian deity. They're trying to change his identity from God is my judge to some Babylonian god. Does this sound like today? Is this like today, right, church, right? Happy Father's Day, right? Right? Before Babylon changed Daniel's behavior, it attempted to change his identity. Before Babylon tried to change Daniel's actions and his behavior, it tried to change his allegiance or the authority that sat over him. So it's an issue of authority. Who has the authority in your life is what it all boils down to. Our convictions, our behaviors, our culture, what we believe, all boils down to who has authority in our lives. And Daniel knew that. I'm not going to assimilate into this new thing because my authority is heaven. Who is your authority? Is it culture, society's values, beliefs, ideas, behaviors? What about maybe it's the majority opinion defines who you follow, right? Maybe it's your personal feelings. Maybe it's the government defines who your authority is. I hope not. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's just you. Or is it God? Now, believers will say it's God, like Christians. Born-again believers will say, it's God. Pastor, you know it's God. Well, sure. God is my authority. And why do we feel like that? Because the Creator has the right to define his creation. Here's what I know. It ain't me. It ain't me. It's not you. John 17, 17, Jesus praying over his disciples makes this declaration, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. What's he doing there? He's telling the disciples shortly before he's crucified that, listen, there's going to be a lot of deception when I leave. There's going to be a lot of angst. There's going to be a lot of turmoil. And it's not going to stop. And you're going to go looking for answers and looking for truth. There's truth. My word is truth. He defines it. Same thing shows up in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. Our faith rests on the God who inspired it, inspired the word, right? But what happens if someone doesn't believe in God? So they're not going to say it's going to be heaven, right? Their convictions won't be like the believer's convictions. Who defines their reality, folks? If they're not in Christ, who defines their authority? Current culture, right? Probably. Majority opinion, most likely. Personal feelings, the government, science. Science does, right? See, you're starting to, the light bulbs are going on. Each individual. But they all have their own problems. They all have problems. And now you're seeing what the problem is in our culture. You can't define your own reality. You can't define your own authority. You can't define your own trust. That's why your conviction requires a lot of courage. To stand up and believe like Daniel, what he believed, and not defile yourself. I didn't say fight about it, but stand up about it, right? That's why it says in Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Peter and the other apostles, they were being commanded to stop preaching about Jesus. And they're not rebelling against authority. They're not looking for a civil war. They're just saying we believe in a higher authority than the authority that's here on earth. Church, I just believe in a higher authority. And the Bible says that authority is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and never changes his mind. That's where I'm going to be. And his word stays the same. Right? But that conviction can cost me something. It can cost you something. In Daniel's case, it costed him some acceptance, comfort, and approval. The apostles, it cost them freedom. Most all of them were killed. Safety, popularity. See, conviction is truth that is more valuable than that comfort. So we've got to remain faithful, church, under pressure. See, Daniel faced this pressure. He faced all this opposition. He was facing the same thing you're facing today. So let's talk about that on Father's Day for a second before I wind it up. Men, we don't need more of you that goes with the flow of the current culture. We don't need that. We need men of strong conviction. We need men who know what they believe and why they believe it. We need men who stand for truth, and they keep their word, and they lead their families. We need men of integrity who remain faithful when compromise is much easier. Church, the greatest gift a father can give his children is not wealth, success, or popularity. It's a man who loves God and stands firm in his convictions. That's the man I want to hang out with. Doesn't mean we don't make the errors. It doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. King David, as you know, made mistakes, sins with Bathsheba, and punishments that followed. But he was still strong in his convictions. As I bring this in for a landing on Father's Day, you know, Babylon asked the question, who defines your truth? Who defines your truth? It's the exact same question our society and our culture says today. Who defines your truth? And questions that. Questions our convictions. The same thing that happened then happens today. Babylon asks, who's your authority? Who do you get to listen to? Tell me we don't hear that today. All the time. Who's your authority? You don't have authority to do that. My authority comes from heaven in the word that never changes. My convictions are rooted, and I'm not going to defile myself because somebody in culture or society says different. And David taught us how to go through that process. We still honor the authority, the Bible says. The Bible says to pray for the leaders of your land, right? And that's what we do. So I have a few questions as we wrap it up this morning. The question I have for our dads today, or the men of the church, or all of us, is have we allowed current culture to shape our thinking? Or are we getting the information from heaven through God's word? Or does the current prevailing culture dictate to what we do? Have you compromised your convictions just to fit in? Who's truly the authority in our lives today? Who's the authority in our lives? The authority in my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And before I move one step further, I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning on Father's Day of 2026, to change the authority in your life. You may have walked in here or joined online and said your authority is whatever you decided it was going to be. And many of us walked in the worship center today, or many joined us online on our online broadcast and said, Pastor, my authority is God's word. The Lord Jesus Christ is my authority. Great. But what about the people that say, I don't have that authority in my life? That's why your life is drifting. The majority rules, or you rule, or your friend tells you what it is, or maybe somebody at your workplace tells you what it is, and you're just really confused and you don't know which way to go. I'm going to offer you this morning to change the authority in your life. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm not going to ask you to join a church. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but decide this morning who is the authority in your life. So I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts, folks. If you're watching online, I'm going to ask you just to bow your hearts and make yourself a private altar, the Bible says. And I'm going to give you the question. If you want to change the authority in your life and accept Jesus Christ as your new authority, I'm just going to ask you to kindly raise your hand in the worship center. I'm not going to pull you down front. Thank you for that hand in the back. All you have to do, thank you for the hand up front, is raise your hand and put it back down. Are there any other hands? I'm going to change the authority in my life today, Pastor. Thank you for that hand on the side. Anybody else? Anybody else? If you're watching online, you could do the exact same thing. You could type into the chat box and say, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. There's somebody there that will pray with you this morning. Is there anybody else? Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for those hands that were raised, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, on Father's Day, hands were raised. It says, I want to change the authority in my life. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He's now my authority. The Word in God's Bible, in His Word, is my authority. I thank you, Lord God, they had a courage to take a stand with a new conviction, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that they have now reorganized their life. I thank you, Lord God, that the compromise is dissipating and they have decided they'll leave the worship center today. They'll turn off a device and they'll say, I have a conviction that Jesus Christ is now my new authority. Lord God, I pray that you pour out a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in everybody that already has Jesus as their authority, Lord. And I pray that power continues to rise up inside of them. Give them strength to live with conviction today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, if you just accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I have a bunch of information I want to give you. If you scan the QR code on the screen in front of you, that one right there, in the house or online, you will have access to a tremendous amount of information to get your new conviction in order to move forward. You should join a life group for the summer here at Cross Point Church. But if you're some distant land, the 12 countries that we are now broadcasting to, if that is you, scan the QR code, go to the church website at cpoint.church, download the information that we can get into your hands, because we don't want you to be all by yourself. People that hang around Cross Point Church every week, we understand this, but if you're watching online and you're nowhere around Canton, Ohio, we still want to get that information in your hands. And scan the QR code. You'll have access to all the information that we'll put in your hands. If you need information, send the church an email at office@cpoint.church and we'll send you more information. Men of Cross Point, as we leave here today, I challenge you to do exactly what King David did to Solomon. Act like a man. Be strong and courageous. Do the right things. It doesn't mean we won't mess up. It just means to continue to do the right things with strong conviction. Be honorable. Honor the authority above you. not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but your boss at work, your wife at home, or the other authority in your life. Act like men with conviction and integrity. And if you do, I'm going to buy you a blizzard. Before you leave here today, men at Crosspoint, if you're 18 years old or older, when you're leaving, grab yourself a free blizzard from your pastor. Church, stand with me today. I feel like there's conviction in the house today on Father's Day. That makes the house at Crosspoint, there's joy in the house of the Lord. You believe that today? Happy Father's Day, men at Crosspoint. God bless you.